Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
The Declaration of Independence, oh, yeah. In 1776. Continental Congress said that we were free. Said we had the right of life and liberty. And the pursuit of happiness.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal,
that they are endowed by their Creator
with certain unalienable rights,
that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And if there's one thing that makes me happy, then you know that it's there's gonna be fireworks.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If you can't find him on Facebook, it's because he's got a paper bag over his head. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time. Good morning, and happy 234th. Is that what you figured out it was, Heather?
76 is 200, 86, 96, 2006.
You do it the old-fashioned way. You count your hands and toes, your fingers and toes.
You got it. Okay. It's the American way.
It's the American. That's right. We don't. No, the American way is to get out your calculator.
Okay.
Because nobody knows math anymore. Oh, you can't do any of that.
I would have to have one handy, and I don't.
And you're looking very Molly Pitcher-ish.
I try.
Picturesque?
I try. I do.
She's got her red, white, and blue bandana on. It's actually very cute.
Thanks.
And she wore her cream colored shirt, yep. Which she promptly spilled coffee on.
Yep, nice big.
So you've got coffee and cream.
Coffee and cream. I figured long red hair, blue jeans, white top, red, white, blue. Get it?
R. Where's, I don't have a rim shot.
Yeah.
All I've got is the bell.
This is a great idea at 6 in the morning when I'm stumbling around trying to wake up. So.
That's what happens. You know, and of course, we don't get the day off. And it's one of those deals where in the old days, you wouldn't have gotten your holiday. You'd have said, oh, I can't believe they put the 4th of July on a Sunday.
Right.
Why didn't they just call it the 3rd and a half today and
right.
Tomorrow's the 4th?
Exactly.
But I guess a lot of folks get a day off. But, you know, in this country, in this day and age, so many people work anyway on holidays.
Yeah.
Sundays,
depends.
Saturdays.
Yeah.
I do most of my work on Saturdays and Sundays. There's no such thing as a day off.
No.
And that's what makes us the most depressed country in the world. Most overworked and the most productive, they tell us. Although,
oh, right. Yeah.
You know,
wait,
we're productive?
What are we producing?
Well,
besides
we don't
dairies and smog.
That's right. We don't produce. And I'm glad you did the segue. Quickly, I want to get to that right away. That's going to start the show. In fact, why don't you get those folks
okay.
on? And we'll talk about your picture on my homepage.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
Kissing the Stanley Cup.
Isn't it beautiful?
You got to go to MikeNovak.net, MikeNowak, Heather Fry. got her wish.
5 seconds.
Your 5 seconds of fame
of
and your
glory.
And your lips affixed
yep.
to this. What is that that's written on there?
It's the names of all the teams that have won it. Their names get inscribed on all the layers.
So what happens?
Each layer is 10 years. And then there's more engraving towards the top from when they originally started putting the
Do they just keep adding to the cup and
yes.
soon it'll be the size of the Empire State Building?
I don't know.
Building,
I think everybody wonders
the Willis Tower
of cups. I don't know if they'll remove a ring and then like, you know, put them in the Hall of Fame. To
soon
keep
they won't be able, they won't be able to skate around the ice.
They'll just be pushing
it
around the ice. Yeah, it's hollow, but it's still all silver. It's still solid silver.
They will
silver.
Need a dolly to push yeah. it around. Yeah.
It's okay. like 35 to 37 pounds as it is now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's why those guys can still just like
yeah.
so when they're holding it's like they're pumping iron.
There was basically. there was a great shot of Patrick Kane or one of the players handing it to his like short little mom
yeah.
who like nearly bought it holding the cup because she could barely
she
hold
just
it
put
up.
It over put her under it.
But yeah, I'm done with hockey now. That's from that was the start
you bet
of June
you are.
To the end of June. June's over. I the last day of June I got to meet the Stanley Cup. I'm good.
Okay.
June was my month.
Let's do serious stuff because we got to start with serious stuff.
Yes.
We are going to talk to some folks out Joe Davies County way about a proposed, well, and it's actually under construction. It's scary. Megadairy that is being constructed out there. Ken, possibly Susan Turner, and a friend of mine, Kate Thomas, who got involved in this. This is a woman I've known for years, and I didn't know she was involved in this until last night. And it's an odd coincidence about how these things work. Anyway, they're going to talk about the Megadairy, Rick DeMaio weather at 8:30. Leah Petrusiak. Where in the world is Leah Petrusiak? She's doing something for the holiday, and we'll report in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to the Clapton Tix winner. We gave it away, and you kind of set that up, Heather, and we will get their take on what the concert was like,
yes.
the Crossroads concert, which was last weekend. And I'm going to give away Chuck Lavelle tics today.
Look at you getting all the rock and roll hookups.
I know.
These
what does
days?
That have to do with? Well, Chuck, see, he's a horticulturist.
Yeah.
For once, there's actually a connection here.
It's on his bio, on his homepage, and everything that he is a tree
oh,
farmer.
Oh my goodness,
and loves
he's
it.
Not. He's one of the foremost tree farmers in the world,
yeah.
and he's a keyboardist for the Rolling Stones, and he's going to be performing at the Omni Chicago Hotel on July 17th to benefit the American Forest Foundation and the Tree Fund, the Tree Research and Education Endowment. Fund. And I'm giving away two pairs of tics to that. We're going to do one today and one next week. So yeah, more rock and roll today. And I've got a great question for and we're going to do it after 9 o'clock, sometime between 9 and 10 today. We'll give away that pair of tics to see Chuck Lavelle perform at the Omni. I got a great question. Problem is I didn't bring it in. So, but Kathleen has it, and I know if she's listening, she's going to mail it to me.
Yeah.
So, but it's a really good environmental question.
Okay.
It's very cool. And that's kind of, lots on the show. And, you know, I may talk a little bit. I went last night to, the Peterson Garden, dedication, the Peterson Garden Project, and we'll talk about that. There are pictures on my website, as I said, again, MikeNowak.net, MikeNowak.net. But right now, let us go to line one and bring in Ken Turner. Ken, welcome to the Mike Novak Show.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. And let's start from the beginning here. And for me, the beginning is when I was speaking at the Loyola Earth Day conference, and this was back in April. And I did a presentation, the keynote, and as I walked out of the auditorium, there was Ken, and you had some charts and graphs and papers, and you said, Mike, we got to talk. There's something going on in Joe Davies County you need to know about, and we need your help. I don't know how much help I can give you, but I'm happy to get the word out, and one of the reasons is I know that we boom out that way on 92.5 out of DeKalb.
Right, out of DeKalb.
And I know that a lot of folks listen to that station out that way, and I'm betting a lot of folks know about this already, but maybe they don't. And that would be really scary if they didn't know about this. So let's start at the beginning. Somebody wants to build a what? You call it a
Megadairy.
A Megadairy.
He wants to put Well, way back when he first applied for the permit, he wanted to put 11,000 cows on about 260 acres. He was calling it the two dairies traditions.
And this is a guy named A.J. How do you pronounce his last name?
A.J. Boss.
Boss, and it's B-O-S. It is not B-O-S-S. And he's a California guy.
Yeah.
He's got a dairy. He started in California, but he's also got one out in Oregon.
He had one out in Oregon. I think he sold his part of that.
After despoiling that neck of the woods.
Well, he took a 4,000 cow dairy and put it up over 50,000. In the process, he was taken to court by labor. He became a bigger ammonia polluter than any industry in the United States. And
now that's saying something. If you're the biggest ammonia producer in the United States because you run a dairy operation.
That's right.
And so A.J. Boss comes to Joe Davies County. And of course, that's the northwest corner of Illinois. And that's basically a popular vacation area, Quad Cities and everything else.
Yeah, it's a lovely bucolic kind of tourist destination. We've got environmental tourism. We've got Galena, and it's also an agricultural district. There's a lot of farms. You drive through the rolling hills. You see the cows out in the fields. You see acres and acres of corn and some soy. And you think to yourself, you know, this is so beautiful. What this area really needs is, say, 43 acres of manure, 20 feet deep, kept for a year. That would really make it.
that's what I'm looking for, pal, in my vacation land.
Yeah. So his original plan was to have 11,000 cows, and right away he ran into a setback issue with half of that. So he had to cut down, and everything he's been saying has been like 3,000 or 4,000. But if he cuts it in half, that's 5,500 cows. He has like 14,000 acres, but most of it's planted in corn. He had put 5,500 cows on roughly 130 acres is his development footprint. And that would be including 43 acres of manure. And that would be leaking 40,000 gallons a day. And that's...
Now, how do you know it would be leaking 40,000 gallons a day?
You know,
I mean, I'm sure that the guy comes in, he says, as they say about CAFOs, and that's confined animal feeding operations, they all say, don't worry, we now have the technology, everything's fine.
Oh, and that's exactly what he told us. And I can remember even at the first public hearing, somebody asked the engineer, who is under oath, well, how much leakage will there be? And he said, well, there'll be almost nothing. And then, well, how much will there be? Well, it'll just be a trickle. And then how much will there be? Well, it has to meet the hydraulic conductivity of 1 times 10 to the negative 7 centimeters per second. You know, and somebody rattles that off in a gym of 600, and, you know, everybody's eyes have glazed over, and they're thinking about chocolate milk and not worrying too much about that.
And that's what they would get. I know. It's sad, isn't it? And the other question is, though, I'm sure the people asked, how's it going to benefit the area? And I misspoke earlier because you guys are not Quad Cities, but you know, it's north of that where it's much less developed and much more picturesque, and it's vacation land, and it's an area that I would think already does pretty well because you get tourist dollars.
Right. We've got a nice combination of tourist dollars and what I would call regular agriculture. See, if you let the big farms come in, number one, they displace the family farm operations that are here. Number two, they lower the property values. So, you know, there's the near death or death of your tiny communities. The dollars don't turn over as many times in the community. Like a family dairy for every dollar it makes, that'll turn over 8 or 9 times in the community. But for a big dairy like this, it turns over once or twice before it's out to California.
Mm-hmm. And I guess part of the problem also, or part of the issue, was who's going to construct this? Is there going to be local jobs? I read something, and my other guest is going to be on in just a second. Kate Thomas actually did a master's thesis on this issue.
You have Kate Thomas?
I have Kate Thomas on the phone right now. And as a matter of fact, Kate, would you say hi to Ken?
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Kate.
How are you?
I'm here too, Kate.
Oh, Susan, are you there? That's yes. Susan Turner as well. This is so weird, Ken. You don't know this. Until last night, I didn't know Kate was involved in this. Kate was my landlord Chicago. Actually, her parents were my landlord, but she lived on the first floor of a 3-flat. That I was in. And so I've known her for years. I had no idea she was involved in this until about 5 o'clock yesterday evening when I looked at my email and I had this email from Kate Thomas. And I'm thinking, well, I know a Kate Thomas. This can't possibly be the same person. But it was. And Kate has spent some time. Give me the 30-second version of this, Kate.
After you and I parted ways, Mike, I went and did a master's degree in city planning at MIT. And I have a master's in city planning now with a concentration in environmental planning and policy. And my master's thesis was written on the proposed construction of this particular dairy in Joe Davies County and the social and environmental impacts that were likely to occur as a result of its construction.
And why did you do that?
Well, to be honest, I scrapped my original thesis and wrote this one at the very tail end because I found it to be so compelling. I had a friend and colleague that I had known since college who had lived, who was living in Joe Davies County and sent me a newspaper article about the proposal for this dairy. And when I read it, I thought to myself, wow, that's something that needs to be looked at and needs to be studied. And it was a very unique opportunity because, unfortunately, most study of CAFO is done after the dairy is constructed or the CAFO is constructed, and it's very rare that you get an opportunity to look at it during the application and permitting process.
So, Ken, when I found this out last night, I said, Kate, you've got to do this. You've got to come on the show. And I didn't realize you didn't know she was going to be part of this conversation, but I had to drag her into this. And by the way, I'm supposed to break here, and I'm saying screw it. I'm going to talk about this for till the bottom of the hour because it's much too important. So let's get into the specifics here. Ken, one of the things you told me, and by the way, I'm talking to Ken and Susan Turner. They're part of Stop the Megadairy.org, also part of an organization called HOMES, and that stands for Helping Others Maintain Environmental Standards, which originally it was kind of an ad hoc organization, which was formed because of the threat of the megadairy. Right, Ken?
That's correct. We formed just after the big public meeting, January 2008. There were many of us, like when the engineer put us off so much by not answering the question directly, there were other examples of that, other examples of people caught in lies in their testimony. And the more we looked into it, the more we saw this is just going to be horrible. This is, if you're getting ready to position leakage on top of our aquifer right by the Apple River, this can't be good for any of our communities.
You also told me, Ken, that they they're what, half partially constructed? How much of this is constructed now?
Well, they've been stopped for close to 2 years now, ever since we won the preliminary injunction. He hasn't started back up, even though he won the suit. I think it's because we're in appeals, and he may be having trouble obtaining money and funds because his name is still on a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. And he is also missing permits.
Yeah, he's true. Missing permits?
Yeah, he has applied for but never received a 401 permit, which would allow him to bulldoze the origin of the Apple River. They call it, the Army Corps of Engineers refers to it as the unnamed tributary South Fork Apple River. But essentially what it means is this is where the Apple River starts. The Apple River starts on his property, and by his design, he would put one of the, actually two of the largest manure pits directly across it. He wants to bulldoze it so he can put this on top of it. To me, that's just not sound engineering when you put 43 acres of manure on top of a spring-fed origin of a creek. And then that stream, the Apple River, I mean, it's a major tourist attraction through the state, or through the northwest corner of Illinois, but also goes less than 5 miles downstream is the Apple Canyon State Park and a Boy Scout campsite and some endangered species.
The Boy Scouts will love it. They can help clean up. But now what's interesting about this is you look at the history of your effort, and this mega dairy was proposed in 2007, and things kind of went your way for a while, and it's all, I've outlined it as best I can on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. And back in 2008, the Joe Davies board voted 11-5 against the farm. Then the judge, Judge Kevin J. Ward of Joe Davies County, signed a preliminary injunction, halting the operation and the construction. You got awarded an environmental hero award by then Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn. And we'll get to him in a second and what Pat Quinn should be doing about this. But the court battles went on, and then the turnaround was last December, wasn't it, Ken?
Yeah, it was. I don't think there were any of us in that courtroom that didn't have our mouths just drop and hit the floor. We had had medical testimony from people who not just were doctors, but were doctors in the fields of water contamination and effects of air pollution and factory farming on people living nearby. We had their testimony, which, by the way, they didn't charge us for at all. They wanted to do it. We had people from the Illinois State Geological Society come up, and we had people, plaintiffs who lived across the street from the construction as it was going, you know, we caught them in a discharge. There's not a cow on the site yet, but we caught them in a discharge that was 10 times worse than raw sewage being discharged.
What do you mean? They were already doing that?
They were already discharging illegally.
They were discharging because of a silage pad. He was so confident that he could begin his operation prior to the preliminary injunction that he boldly I call it the ski hill of silage that is breaking down, and there's leachate, which is a liquid that runs off of that. It's basically like a hooch, and we were getting discharges from that.
And you had all these people testify. Who did he have testify?
He brought in experts from the Wisconsin Dairy Association. So he went straight to big business, and the same people that have been pushing these kinds of operations in Wisconsin, he brought them in. And I don't know if it was the judge falling for smoke and mirrors. I don't know if there's some sort of corruption involved, but we thought we had done a very good job of proving our case, that it was a nuisance, that there would be a high degree of contamination of the groundwater and most likely nearby wells.
So the judge lifted the temporary injunction, and then he assessed all costs of the case to your organization. How much was that?
No, hang on.
That's not correct.
All right, I took this off of
Rockford Register. I think, and you did such a great job on your webpage. We went to it last night. I think that's the only mistake that we found.
Okay.
He is trying to do that, but that has not happened yet.
Well, is that because you're appealing, right?
The intimidation.
That's a part of the the appeal that's going forward, they combined that. We said that we couldn't bear the cost because he couldn't be operating anyway because he doesn't have these permits.
All right. So
the other part of that is that the preliminary injunction served its purpose. A preliminary injunction keeps everything at status quo till a decision can be made, and that's what it did. It stopped everything till the trial was held.
But it's on appeal right now, right?
Yes, that's all on appeal.
Let's go to Kate for a second. Kate, why do you think they lost this battle?
You know, that's an excellent question. I have to say that I think Ken's accounting of the situation is accurate. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But I do have to say that when I heard how the verdict had come down, I was flabbergasted. The people that the Holmes Group and the plaintiffs in the case in Joe Davies brought in to testify are noted experts in health, in geology. The aquifer in Joe Davies that's in question sits under a very unique type of rock. It's called a karst aquifer. And they brought in some of the nation's leading experts and certainly the state's experts in karst topography and water hydrology. And so, of course, the burden falls to a plaintiff in a case to prove their case, but I share Ken and Susan's incredulity when I say, what else could a judge have possibly wanted anyone to bring in? You know, there was no stone left unturned as far as I can tell, but again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't give a more educated opinion than that.
But the point you're making is a good one, that the topography and Joe Davies County, from the map that you have on your website, Ken, seems to be all karst.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that means that there are caves, there are sinkholes, there are places where this runoff could go and affect the water supply.
Absolutely.
More than in another area that might have sand or clay.
Pardon me?
It could do it faster in that area than in a place that might have sand or clay.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, sides of the manure or the excavation that's already been done, there's erosion going on right now.
Yeah. The karst allows movement of water at miles per hour instead of inches per year.
That's amazing. That was one of the things I read on the website. I went, oops, are we in trouble or what?
Yeah.
And I look at the situation and hear the CAFO folks, and you know, I'm obviously biased. I think this is crazy. I think this is nutty that we could bring this in, and once the doors are open here, you might have more of those. Is that correct?
An email that we got to look at because we had discovery motions, there's a message from his lead engineer to his CFO back in California saying when the herd size reaches 20,000 for all four farms, we're going to need 50 square miles to spread the manure on. Well, you can see that not only does he not want to stay at 5,500, he wants to build to 20,000. And if he comes in, then precedence has been set, and there are others trying to move out of California. You know, California's in the midst of a 5 or 10 year drought, and the state has upped the ante on environmental protection and started charging them for the water they use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not an industry that California is trying to keep. They're actually, from my perspective, trying to push them out.
And, you know, it's a really good point because I ended up talking to Kate for a little bit last night, and you said, and we're going to have to wrap this up in a couple of minutes, but, Kate, you said it boils down to the water and the accessibility, not just of land, but of water. Is that right?
I'd say that's a key part of it. Ken is right on target. There's very little water available in California, and what there is being very bitterly fought over. And so the cost of trying to water a herd of 20,000 cows or more becomes extraordinarily expensive, and The state of California doesn't seem to be particularly interested in that anymore.
And what's interesting is I look at the numbers here, and they seem to change hourly and how many cattle were going to be part of this. You know, it was early on 5,400 cows and one farm, and then there was talk about a second farm, and then there's 6,850, and it's a difference. Are you using animal units or are you using cows?
And if I could just handle that. His original notice of intent to construct was for 11,000 cows on the two sites. Since he's had to stop talking about the one site, I don't pay any attention to what else he claims. I just go straight to half of that, 5,500 from the original notice of intent to construct for the one site.
But the point is that in Oregon, this went from about 5,000 cows to suddenly 50,000.
Right.
And there's no reason to believe this would not happen in Joe Davies County.
He's allowed to expand 50% after 2 years. So he could, even though he lost... Oh, and there's like no regulations on that, on the expansion. So even though half of it was shut down now, if he opened today and got 5,500 cows in there, in 2 years, he could go to 11,000 without meeting any of the setbacks that stopped him originally.
And then, you know, then he gets to do 50% of 11,000 cows,
right.
And then he gets to do 50% of whatever number that has grown to. So it means it's like a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it just keeps growing and growing and growing. All right. I got to get to Rick DeMaio Weather. What can people do right now? Obviously, they should go to my website because all the information is there, including link to stopthemegadairy.org, and you can go to stopthemegadairy.org yourself if you want to do that. What else, Ken?
Okay, well, I would love to have them call the governor and ask that that the law... Okay, there's this law. No new livestock management facility shall have within its boundaries any stream or other surface water, okay? If he's applying to fill a stream, then a stream is there. That law is being violated. It's one of so many, but that law is just so obvious. Have him enforce the law against the megadairy. No megadairy for Illinois. No megadairy in Joe Davies County, Illinois. And to call the IEPA because they can enforce that law also.
The EPA can enforce it. See, and that's the other question, and I can't really get into it. We have a lot of different jurisdictions here, some overlapping, some have more powers than other. But it occurs to me that the governor would be the one person who could actually put a stop to this until we look at it further and make sure we have the right information about putting in this facility.
That's right. Well, right now the IEPA is under investigation by the U.S. EPA for not enforcing the Clean Water Act.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, but still, give them a call, because it is the noise from the people that eventually turned democracy.
And I have to say something about the lieutenant governor, who was the lieutenant governor, now the governor. You know, it seems to me he's done a lot of good things with environmental area. As governor, it seems to be harder to take a stand than when he was lieutenant governor and he really didn't have any power.
Well, he's his heart's in the right place, but as soon as he became governor, all he could do is try to figure out how we're going to get out from under $11 billion in debt, and that's still number one thing on his agenda. Everything else is a backseat to that.
Well, we've seen how that works in the Gulf of Mexico. when it's the money that is the important thing, and then when the oil's out or when the manure has gone downstream, it's too late.
Right, it's decades to clean up. If one person loses their life because of illness, how much is a life worth? You know, it's just horrible. Asthma increases, stillbirths increase. There's all sorts of health effects with these things.
And our children shouldn't have to clean it up.
Thank you, Susan. Ken and Susan Turner out in Joe Davies County, thank you so much for being on the show. You guys got to keep in touch with me. We're going to follow this, all right? We're going to pursue this and see what we can get done. Write to the governor. Tell him to look into this. You don't have to beat up on him. Just say, hey, You need to be paying attention to this. This is important stuff because it could change the nature of our state, certainly change Joe Davies County. Thank you both for being on the show this morning. And Kate, thank you so much, too. I'm going to have to sit down and read all 105 pages of your thesis.
Mike, thank you for having us and giving some airtime to this very, very important issue.
And if you hear more, too, Kate, get back to me, okay?
You bet I will.
All right. Both of you, all of you, thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Yes, I'm running late. Sometimes things are important enough that you have to have the sponsors take a back seat, and they understand. They understand it. It's why I love my sponsors. Now, one of the things going on in the gardening world right now is that Japanese beetles are out in force. This is where I'm supposed to play a Beatles song. We'll next hour. We'll have a Beatles song ready, right?
A Japanese Beatles song?
Sure. Yeah.
I know I got one with Yoko on it somewhere.
That'd be good.
She is okay. Japanese.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's bring in Yoko. If you haven't yet experienced the carnage that these little guys can cause to foliage, shrubbery, trees, lawn, and turf, up to and including complete defoliation of plants, consider yourself lucky. But sooner or later, Japanese beetles are sure to land in your yard. Now, there are three main ways to control these pests. Japanese beetle traps are available, but they may actually attract more of the critters than they catch. Really, you know, a lot of people say don't do it unless you can coordinate with your neighbors. Insecticides can be effective, but you have to be careful when and where you use them. They might be a consideration as a last resort. I would prefer you use organic pesticides. And SIDS prefers also the many organic solutions available, like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew with spinosad.
Arg.
Thank you. It, as I've told you before, naturally occurring bacterium, originally collected from an abandoned rum distillery on a Caribbean island in 1982. You can't make that stuff up. With so many options to consider, SIDS recommends a visit to their store so they can suggest the best solution for your gardens. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit SIDSonline.com. Now, you've gotten your plants up to speed and you don't want to lose them to their enemies. And I was talking about Japanese beetles being one. Here's another product you can use, and SIDS carries Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth's fruit and vegetable insect spray controls aphids, Japanese beetles, caterpillars, mite scale, and more, and does it organically. Formulated with essential oils and garlic extract, you can see the results of Dr. Earth fruit and vegetable insect spray immediately or in a matter of minutes. And it lasts 2 weeks or longer. That gives you peace of mind. Give Dr. Earth a try. Available only at your local independent garden center, like I said, like a place like SIDS. Or you can go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Rick DeMille weather in just 60 seconds. Here's an invitation from the Care of Trees. One of America's great cycling events, and I'm talking about bicycles, is coming to Chicago, and I will be part of it. The 2010 Steel Tour de Trees, and that's STIHL. You know the folks that make the chainsaws and other great outdoor products. It kicks off from Chicago's Millennium Park on Sunday morning, July 18th, with a special broadcast of this very show, sponsored in part by the Care of Trees and the Davy Tree Care Experts. Now, I will be the MC for the event as dozens of cyclists head out from the park on a 6-day trip to the Mississippi River and back to raise money for tree research and education. My special guest will be Rolling Stones keyboardist and world-class tree farmer Chuck Lavelle, and I still have a couple of pairs of tickets for the Lavelle performance at the Omni Chicago Hotel on July 17th to benefit the Tree Fund. You can find out more about that by going to treefund.org. And we're going to give away those tickets in the 9 o'clock hour. I hope you come to Millennium Park to join us for the Tour de Trees kickoff and celebration on July 18th. Now it's the regular showtime, 8 to 10 a.m. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, a proud sponsor of the 2010 Steel Tour de Trees. This is where I play the fanfare for the common meteorologist. They wrote it just for you, Rick DeMaio. Well, actually, Aaron Copeland did. And, you know, this is funny. This is the best part. They always include the Aaron Copeland stuff on the American CDs for the holiday.
They do.
But this is such a great...
Sousa.
Yeah,
and,
we'll get some Sousa in here.
Yeah,
and I got some other music I got to play. But I saw you last night on Channel 2, Rick.
Was that the late show or the 5 o'clock show?
It was the late one, unfortunately.
I shouldn't have been up. We always get a little rusty for that late one, but I guess the James Bond movie was more important, right?
I noticed that.
Halle Berry's.
Right. I was surprised.
Oh, I meant Berry. Sorry.
What's that? Halle Berry.
Yeah, I said Halle Berry's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and. I was surprised that they ran late. I figured, you've seen the end of this movie already. We'll start the news at 10 o'clock anyway.
Now, if it was Goldfinger, Dr. No from Rush with Love, I'd have no problem with that.
It's been dry.
You know, it's amazing, Mike. And I got some really amazing data from Frank Wachowski. He's one of our... cooperative weather observers down at Midway.
Oh, yeah. You know, you hear Tom Skilling talk about him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Frank Wachowski.
Retired National Weather Service veteran observer Frank Wachowski. Yeah, Tom loves Frank. And
he
Frank's
does.
A great guy. Frank was at my the AMS dinner back in May. And Frank is always the person who confirms who wins the annual forecasting contest for snow. And I have to like Frank because I think I mentioned this to you. I won again this past year. So that's second year out of the last 3 years that I won the snow forecasting contest. So I don't want to make fun of Frank. Frank's a really good guy.
Oh, no, I'm not making fun of Frank. I'm making fun of Skilling.
Yeah, Skilling has experts up his sleeve in every department.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He's really funny. But the data that Frank sent me and was actually forwarded to me from Patrick Sketch, another one of the observers that I rely on quite a bit for some great cooperative data, was for the first 3 days of the month of July, Mike, we had absolutely no significant cloud cover. We had a couple cirrus clouds here and there, but in the books, we ended up with 100% total sunshine for July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
That's the thing I saw you put on the screen last night, and I didn't realize it, but when you posted it, I thought, yeah, that's right. That's the way it felt.
Right. But the most amazing part is the last time we had a string of days like that together was 1944. and when you think about that, you go, 1944, World War II, that was 76 years ago. And it just goes to show you that you don't get days like this together too often. And the odd thing about it is just last Sunday we were talking about this prolific, severe weather pattern that we were in that produced 6.5 inches of rain at O'Hare Field, making it the 17th wettest ever for measurements for an official site at O'Hare Field. But what's really amazing, Mike, and this is what's great about the cooperative observers, and they really have a great part in weather observing and data and analysis because there were some places in parts of Illinois. For instance, Oak Brook, Illinois, for the month of June, Patrick Sketch said 10.09 inches of rain. Frank Wachowski down by Midway, 10.5 inches. We had some observers down in Kankakee with 11.45, in Iroquois County with 11.61 inches of rain for the month of June. So if you've been driving anywhere west and southwest of Chicago, where obviously corn is plentiful, it's up to almost 9 feet, which is just really amazing considering We're only, what, the 4th of July, and normally you don't see corn this high until maybe about the 3rd week of July. And then you compare it to what we had around here last year when we were so darn wet at the beginning of the season, which delayed a lot of the planting, and it was so cool. Corn was not more than 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, and so now it's an elephant's eye. And
right.
You know, actually, our tomatoes out here in the parking lot
are
4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Wait.
I was up in, when we did my show last week up in Madison, I went to the farmer's market, and all the farmers were just you know, smiles from ear to ear about, you know, how much they've been able to grow this year. And I bought a couple of organic tomatoes, which I liked. That's the kind of stuff I like to buy. And this tomato was so big it took me a week to eat because I didn't want to eat it all at once, and I finally finished it yesterday, and it was getting a little bit mushy. You know, tomatoes, once you cut into them, you got about 3 days before you kind of have to put them away. But
you should eat them all at once, really. But
yeah, I know. But this thing was like a small pumpkin. Seriously.
Wow. And we actually picked, Kathleen and I picked our first tomatoes in our yard this week. Now, they were cherry tomatoes, little orange cherry tomatoes. You talk about flavor. Just unbelievable. And then we went to the farmer's market, the Green City Market, yesterday and bought some beefsteaks to bring home. Going to do a little grilling. Got some brats that we're going to put on a grill. And they're from one of these places where they do it all themselves, and it's not farmed out, no pun intended, and they season them themselves, and they freeze them and direct to
use.
Doing
something similar. I have skinless, all-natural jumbo hot dogs awaiting for my son because he's a hot dog nutter.
Well, so, did you guys ever make your own sausages?
No. I'm not bold and daring.
Well, actually, my dad.
You have to. It's the best.
My dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My dad made kielbasa twice a year, all the time I was growing up. And
I assume you go and you get the meat pre-ground.
He would. No.
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 He would. I can't do that.
I don't know if I could do that. I'd have to.
He would cut it himself.
Right.
He didn't believe in ground. Even for kielbasa, he didn't believe in the ground beef. He would cut it himself and cut the garlic and stuff the pig skins himself but with his hands.
Well, yeah, you could do that.
I bet it was delicious.
You have a machine that does it for you. But
oh, my God, it was awesome. It was just unbelievable. There's no kielbasa that I've ever bought that comes anywhere near what my dad's with. And my dad always said the secret ingredient was the dirt under his fingernails.
Oh, my God, I've heard that before.
Have you really? Probably on this show.
But for some reason,
your vegans are rolling over in their recliners right now.
No, I think I tried to use it on my mother a few times when I was folding clothes. I go, Mom, don't you remember? It's the dirt under the fingernails. She says, that's not a work right now. Go wash your hands.
But see, that's the vegan part of it.
That's
what the vegans really would be unhappy about is that my dad used veal and beef, and he would mix them. That's a great. Somebody just tweeted a great. I don't know if he's listening. He's not listening to the show.
I don't know, but it fits.
There's a guy who just tweeted, I'm not a vegetarian because I love animals. I'm a vegetarian because I hate plants. It's a quote from A. Whitney Brown, whoever that is. Listen, Rick, let's do a forecast. I will get right back to you. Rick DeMaio will have his forecast in just a second. Now, of course, you want your flowers to bloom like crazy, and one of the best ways to do that is to feed your flowers, speaking of organics, organic food. And your best bet in the field is Flower Tone from Espoma. Flower Tone is a premium flower food that's low in nitrogen and rich in potash to promote root growth and blooms rather than heavy foliage. And the natural organics in Flower Tone break down gradually. This gives your flowers access to a safe, long-lasting food reservoir throughout the growing season. Flower Tone from Espoma is formulated to feed annuals and perennials, and its natural formula also contains Biotone, which is a patented blend of beneficial microbes which help improve soil structure. Espoma is, you know this already, they're the maker of Holytone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Look for all of the Espoma products at your local garden center. You know, they actually sell in some of the box stores. And I know that some of my sponsors say, no, I don't want to sell in box stores. But, you know, I like the idea that Espoma is out there getting the word out to people who won't go into an independent garden center. So, and if you go to a box store, you can find Espoma. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com. ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Next time you're walking downtown along the Chicago River, keep an eye out for the Fish Hotel on the south side of the river between Dearborn and State Streets. This floating garden was designed and built by WRD Environmental for Friends of the Chicago River. The Fish Hotel welcomes aquatic visitors to a stretch of river that otherwise isn't very hospitable to them, with very little shade and with sides of concrete and steel instead of natural shoreline. You've seen the Chicago River. You know what it's like. It's hard for fish to find a place to check in. Well, here you can watch for a variety of fish, butterflies, dragonflies, herons, even an occasional muskrat in this oasis of floating nature. To create the first known and award-winning Fish Hotel, WRD drew on its sustainable roots. The habitat features locally sourced native plants as well as materials that are recycled, biodegradable, and energy efficient. For sustainable landscape and fishscape solutions, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com. Heather says she feels like blowing something up. Yeah. There's going to be enough of that in my neighborhood.
Oh, mine already started yesterday, day before yesterday.
Rick, your neighborhood? Do you get a lot of that?
You know what? I'm right on the lake, and we did have a couple of people blow up some, bottle rockets last night. But, it's no big deal. It's July 4th. You have to have a little bit of, pomp. And
oh, you got to come down to my neighborhood then.
I wanted to find the jerk-off lighting the M80s and waking up my kid. I wanted to find him and show him where that M80 fits.
You know what? I get most concerned about pets. My dog hated this time of the year. I'd have to put him downstairs in the basement and play some music for like 24 hours straight, because as soon as he'd hear, a firecracker, he'd get, really concerned. They actually, a lot of experts say that's what you should do with your pet. You should sequester them someplace and just play music and, try to keep them away from the fireworks sound. But in some neighborhoods, you can't do that, so that's kind of a shame there. But anyway, Mike, you were talking about the weather forecast. It's amazing. You go all the way back to the late 1770s, Thomas Jefferson will still go down as like the first, meteorologist, so to say, without a degree, that was actually observing weather for the United States, actually because he had such an amazing array of plants and crops in his Monticello compound there in Virginia and Charlottesville, actually. And believe it or not, he bought a thermometer about 2 weeks before the Declaration of Independence was completed. He was taking observations while he was compiling it, and I actually have some data, which is, you can actually Google it, and it's part of the National Archives. July 4th, 1776, 6 a.m. temperature was 68, 9 a.m. temperature was 72, and the 1 p.m. temperature, believe it or not, it was a cloudy, kind of a coolish but a humid day in Philadelphia, was an amazing 76 degrees.
Nice!
On July 4th, 1776. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
And he actually has it written down. If you go to his place in Monticello, it's there for you to see. So Bottom line, temperature right now, believe it or not, is 76 degrees, Mike. Dew point is 65. We'll eventually get to a high today of about 90, but the heat index is going to be about 95. There's a lot of clouds pretty much to the west of Illinois, and I do think that's going to filter in by the afternoon. So we'll see a couple of showers and thunderstorms late this afternoon, primarily across northern Illinois. If we get anything in Chicago, it'll be probably from about Evanston northward to Waukegan at about 9 o'clock tonight. But I think if you're going to be shooting off or seeing the fireworks here in the city on south, things should be fine. A better chance of a couple of showers and thunderstorms return to the area on Wednesday after a couple of dry days Monday and Tuesday. But by and large, the rest of the week, Mike, temperatures primarily in the mid to upper 80s. Nothing in the way of any really extreme heat. I think today will probably be the hottest and most humid of the last five or six.
And when does it start to cool off? You say tonight. Today's the hottest, but when does it really start to...
Well, probably not until Thursday, but this time of the year, it's really tough to, quote, cool off. Even if you get cool, you may get back into the low to mid-80s, but I don't see a cool down coming anytime soon.
And
this is the middle of the summer, so expect it to be hot.
But we might get a little bit of rain, which would be helpful at the point.
Little bit, yeah. We've been dry, but the subsoil moisture is still very, very good. So the only thing you have to really worry about is obviously watering those plants that you have in those concrete little pots. Those guys burn up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they do. That's Rick DeMaio. He'll be on Channel 2 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just the evening, right?
You 5 and 10.
Oh, 5 and 10. Great.
Right.
And you can always hear him on the Mike Novak Show. Go to his website, DeMaioWeather.com, or you can link to it from my website. Happy 4th of July, Rick.
Happy 4th of July, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. In the second hour, we're going to give away ticks. We are going to give away ticks to the Chuck Lavelle Benefit Concert. I guess Where in the World is Leah Petrusiak will be part of this show. You and I will talk about the garden outside and how it's doing, and maybe we'll talk about some tomato diseases. Stick around for that.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Now, this is John Philip Sousa.
Yep.
But everybody calls it the Monty Python song. Well, it's and I can't even remember what this one is. You should.
I know it is the Monty Python song.
See, that's the problem. It's a march. It's a John Philip Sousa march, and everybody calls it the Monty Python song.
Well, Monty Python's awesome.
John Philip Sousa's awesome.
I don't know if he's as awesome as Monty Python.
If there was no John Philip Sousa, there wouldn't have been no Monty Python.
There would just be a different song to the squishing foot.
Exactly.
It just wouldn't be as distinguished. And the whole reason I think they went the Sousa route is because the animator was the only American guy.
I think that had there was a lot to do about that. I think it was obviously Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
And,
who I do believe got English citizenship, or I don't know if he's dual or...
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He went the other way, huh?
I don't blame him sometimes, but...
I don't either, tell
I
you
think,
the truth.
I think when all of your creative partners are English, it just makes things easier.
I don't know. They seem to work pretty well together. In this hour of the show, we're going to give away some ticks, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, we're going to give away ticks, talk about ticks...
And we're going to talk about the garden. I went yesterday to the ceremony unveiling the Peterson Garden Project up at Peterson and Campbell. It turns out, and of course, Lamanda Joy, otherwise known as the Yarden on Twitter, was there. They had a parade, and I have to put that in quotes. There was like me and... couple of kids dressed up like carrots.
I saw some of the pictures, though. They look so cute.
They're on my website, MikeNovak.net.
Yeah, I saw some on the Facebook, too.
Some of the Twitter
folks who were there yesterday have been posting them on Facebook and putting the links on Twitter. And I hear our grand winner was a potato.
Yeah, it was Potato Boy.
Nice.
Yeah, Potato Boy. So Potato Boy. Okay, here's the best part. And
if you get kids LaManda, dressed up as veggies, awesome.
But I got to tell you this story. LaManda, I love you. And your party was awesome. And there were a lot of folks there, a lot of them gardeners. A lot of them were gardening during the party, which is kind of funny. There was a band. They had refreshments. You could hang out and talk. They cleaned up the garden a little bit. LaManda tells me they had a little bit of blight on some of the tomatoes.
So they
picked off those leaves.
Well, what you going to do?
What you going to do? And it was probably early blight. She said it was Septoria leaf spot. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
You know all
about to me.
You know all about that, right?
Oh, sure.
But the dreaded one is late blight, which happened in the United States and Canada last year and wiped out a lot of tomato crops. And people have been on the lookout for it this year. I'm getting some reports from various places. The East Coast, I think I saw a report from Purdue that there's some late blight going on. So keep an eye on your plants. Now, early blight is easier to treat, so Septoria leaf spot. But if you get late blight, man.
Is there something organic and safe you can spray to prevent
blight? Yeah, you can use organic products. To control a lot of the control for Septoria leaf spot is don't water overhead, water at the base of the plant. That's why the earth boxes are so good. Have you looked at our earth box?
Boxes are amazing.
Our plants
are perfect. Plants out there.
They are perfect.
I didn't know you can get a tomato stalk that thick.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's thicker than my thumb. It's huge.
They are, and they're perfect. Not a leaf out of place. So anyway, get back to the story. I got to get back to the story here. So they have these kids do this parade, and some of those costumes are really cute. Actually, the cutest ones were the babies.
I saw a little carrot, like a
carrot baby.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole picture, but I saw the bottom half of a little
carrot baby.
It looked cute.
But I couldn't give those kids prizes because they won't care. Their dads would, who were carrying them. So I had to give the kids who actually would care prizes, and I did. So I said, we should have prizes for everybody here. I mean, you'll still have a first place, but I want everybody to have a prize. And they said, okay, we'll get you something. So what did they give me? This bag of homeopathic remedies.
Nice.
Homeopathic remedies.
For like sunburn and mosquito bites and
whatnot. Yeah.
That's perfect for children.
Creams and balms. It's like, and so this kid, Potato Boy, comes up on stage.
Oh.
And he's just won the parade prize. I said, hey, let's see what we got in the bag. Okay, we got this balm for you, and we got this cream, and we got, this is kind of a headache product here. And he's just looking at me.
Also
given me these orange little plastic shovels that you could take to a nearby store and get ice cream. I'm like, you want a shovel? And he went, yeah. It's like the poor guy, he gets a bag full of homeopathic remedies for like a 6-year-old. I'm thinking, hey, you guys, go to the dollar store and buy a toy to give these kids.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Candy. Just get them candy.
Whatever. But
all kids like candy. You can go to Trader Joe's.
You don't give kids
and get
homeopathic remedies.
Homeopathic candy.
That would have worked. Oh, Lordy.
But that's so cute, though. At least they tried. At least they wanted to do something.
Look, if they
glass is half full.
Kathleen and I are looking at each other, and we said,
yummy-looking cupcakes.
Give them a cupcake.
Did you see those? Or like
except
the
they were open to they were cool.
They had like frosting.
Anybody
can
have a cupcake. All right, Leah Petrusiak, where in the world? And her music is missing. I mean, I had the perfect music for Leah. And I don't have it. I can't find it. And I'm so bummed. It was in a CD case, and I bring the CD case. Of course, it's one of those things.
You got the case, but don't have the disc.
I open the case, and it's empty. And I'm sure the disc is still at WGN. So
that's
what I'm
give
thinking.
It to me. I'll try to hunt for it. Give me the box, and I'll see what I can come up with.
You're not going to find this.
You never
not
know.
Here.
I'm not here in my other. I have music
this is
people.
The one, this is the one I was looking for. If you can find that, number 7 or 8. What was it? 8.
The Fiddle Faddle or Holiday for
No,
Strength.
No, see, no, don't give it a. What? No. You're not.
You weren't going to play it anyway, though. You don't have it.
Well, you said you were going to try to find
it. I'm going to try to find it, but now they can know what we're looking for because the curiosity is insatiable.
All right.
Leah doesn't need music, though. She's awesome. She can stand on her own two
no,
feet.
No, she needs music. She needs her own music. All right. Your yard might be rocking with veggies, annuals, and perennials because it's the middle of the growing season, but there's no reason you can't enjoy beautiful plants all year round. Have you stopped by Pesci's newly remodeled Tropical Conservatory? This is the place to find exotic potted plants like bromeliads, mother ferns, and ZZ palms 52 weeks a year. If you don't have a ZZ, that's a plant I'm going to get you, Heather, a ZZ plant.
A ZZ plant?
You can't kill it.
Okay.
You don't have to water it. You leave it alone. In fact, if you water it, you'll kill it.
Well, my aloe plant's looking kind of sad. I think it needs water.
Well, you got to add a little water. Okay. It's not, you can't never water it. I once had a guy, was at a talent agents, and I went in and there was this euphorbia, which looks like a cactus. A lot of people think they're cactuses. And it was crumbling. And I said, when's the last time you guys watered this? He said, you don't have to water it. It's a cactus. And I'm sorry. You need occasional watering.
I just
watering.
Don't know how much because I'm afraid to
I know.
Kill
well,
it
not
kindness.
Much. I would say if it's looking a little, starting to shrivel a little bit, give it a little bit now, okay? Don't overwater it. Give it a little bit. It'll be very happy. Back to Pesci's. You can purchase those plants individually or in exquisite garden baskets, terrariums, cactus gardens, and more. Many of them look great outdoors right now in your container plantings. I thought you were going to go looking for that music. Or are you looking online for
it? No. I don't think I'll be able to find it for you today.
Oh, give me that back. Okay. I thought you were going to look for it for
no,
me today.
No, no,
well,
no,
what's
no,
the
no.
point
well,
then?
Okay, well, I thought I was going to try to replace the one you lost. That's what I meant.
Oh, you'll never find that. You'll never find that
no,
disc.
No, I have people who have music that has long been forgotten.
All right. Back to Pesci's. And as with all Pesci's plants, their expert staff is always there if you need any question answered. Can't stop by? We'll give them a call today, 847-299-1300. 847-299-1300. With blooming and green plant varieties changing weekly, please call for availability, especially if you want that ZZ plant. Pesci's Tropical Conservatory is just part of why they took home Best Florist and Best Garden Center and Nursery Awards in the 2010 Daily Herald Reader's Choice. Pesci's Garden Center, family-owned since 1924, is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good. And you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
If you're looking for the most nourished and nourishing, and Leah wrote this, so she's going to be real happy with me. Take two. Let's try that again. Let's see. We just come out of Neptune's Harvest. And the announcer says, if you're looking for the most nourishing soil conditioner, look no further than the cotton picked on the high plains of Texas or the shelves of your local gardening center, where you can pick up some cotton burr compost from Back to Nature, made from cotton from the high plains of Texas. Why is this Texas cotton so special? Well, the picking method produces a larger amount of cotton burrs. And it's the fleshy cotton burr that's the primary repository of nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium, the three macronutrients required by plants. There are many micronutrients in those little burrs, too. I got to tell you, I just put some Back to Nature cotton burr compost in my yard, picked some up at Sid's, and brought it home and dressed around the vegetables and the perennials in the yard. My veggies are intermingled with my perennials, and I know it's doing good stuff, but the thing is, it also looks really good too. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs in the southwestern United States. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give it a try. Back to Nature products are available at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort and St. John, Indiana, Mikey Nursery in Niles, and Burlington Garden Center in Burlington, Wisconsin. Are you ready for
this? Oh, yes. I was reading your tweets.
Okay. See what we got. And with that, we ask the musical question. Where in the world is Leah Petrusiak? Where are you, Leah?
Are you there?
We're here.
We're here.
Hello. This, I'm in a hole.
Do you like
I thought that my theme music should be, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I'd feel so pretty. Lying away. Could it be, believe it or not, it's just
isn't
me?
Isn't that the greatest American hero?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking the holiday for strings because it is a holiday. But all right, maybe we'll go to that song next time.
I just see her with like really bad 80s curly hair and spandex flying around.
Big hair.
Big 80s hair.
Big 80s hair.
Yeah. Frolicking through the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah.
That isn't happening today.
Right? They're all closed because of the holiday?
It's the holiday, July 4th. Farmers have it off too, I guess.
Maybe you mean there's no farmer's markets open today?
No farmer's markets today. Holiday.
Well,
yeah.
So this was our goal. It was 4th of July. Let's send out Leah Petrusiak to a farmer's market to see what's going on. And
nothing.
Zip. That's all the time we have. See, good night, everybody.
But there's some interesting info, actually. So I went to Logan Square, and Mike, you might know this. You're familiar with the area.
Yeah.
But the square, I mean, was named Logan Square because the spot where the centennial, the monument is, was used to actually be in the shape of a square, but now it's become more circular.
I didn't know that.
Over the years, because they've kind of skinned it away due to traffic, to improve traffic flow. And I remember back in 2004, there was a group formed called Logan Square Walks, and they held the first critical mass, right, last Friday every month has the bike rides. And they did a critical mass, like, to improve pedestrian safety because there were pedestrians being hit. And I think there was a big complaint in Logan Square that because the cars were coming around so fast around those corners and because the stoplights weren't really synced well in terms of, like, to let people be able to cross the streets safely enough. And I just remember that. And I think that the group has been kind of dormant, but I think that it's an idea that I think should be out there. I think they should be kind of revived, these kind of walking groups, and having people, I don't know, having the pedestrians be more one
actually
careful walking
get the right
street,
away.
Having motorists be more cognizant. You know, I just saw a kid hit on Division over at Levitt on yesterday, and I saw the cops pull him into the car, and it was scary. I mean, I don't think that he made it. And so as I was driving by over there and thinking, well, the farmer's market's not here, but I think the whole idea of, you know, walking groups to improve that awareness and pedestrian critical masses. I think that should come back.
Pedestrian critical mass. You know, I tell you, it's still scary.
It is
in Logan Square.
I was down in the city with my son yesterday in his stroller, and I got near Michigan Avenue. It got to be so bad that I put us in a cab so we wouldn't be run over by one.
A friend of mine has been riding her bike to work all week, and she says the responses, and for one thing, she said it's really cool in Milwaukee. There's a lot of cyclists in the morning. The problem is not with the cyclists so much as it is with the car drivers,
mm-hmm.
because the range of responses goes everything from, sure, that's your bike lane and we'll stay out of your way, to, what are you doing in a bike lane?
Right.
I got a car here. What's the matter with you? So it's...
I had a friend who got hurt real bad when someone opened a car door into him. As he was riding his bike in the city.
Oh, that's so common. I've done that one.
Like bad concussion. Bad.
I was lucky. I just got out. Well, it took me out, but I didn't get hurt. But that's, for cyclists, one of the things you end up doing is you always have to keep your eyes on the parked car in front of you and see if there's somebody sitting in the driver's seat, and then you're on caution. And it's hard to do that for every single car that's there because, you know, you're afraid somebody's going to open the door. And I've done that to people, and I feel terrible when I do that because you got to look when you're getting out of your car.
And truth be told, if you really want to boycott BP, ride your bike.
You know, I was also, too, I remember when the city was really coming out and striping a lot of bike lanes, they were sending out, I don't want to say a user's guide, but a kind of graph on how to best navigate in bike lanes or where to be. And they always say to be on, if you're riding on the left edge of the lane, just in case, like you would think that you would shy down the center, but if you're in a lane where there's cars on your right-hand side, then you should always ride on the outer edge, on the left-hand side of the lane to at least avoid, if you do catch it in time, you'll be that much further away from the door. But I do remember that they sent that out, and I think that's an important tip out there for cyclists, too. Because sometimes it's like, your tendency sometimes is to stay either in the middle or, you know, you want to stay closest to the parked cars because you don't want to be near the traffic, but I think that, I don't want to say always, the car driving down the street, hopefully we'll see more, but people are, you know, they just throw their doors open and next thing you know, and always wear your helmet. You know what? One thing I've been noticing a lot, I don't know if they're making more stylish helmets but people are cruising around and I see a lot more helmets out.
I think it's because they are more stylish. Because
they're cooler.
They're cooler. They have the old World War II helmets. They've got the football, the football helmets.
I've seen an 8-ball, like a pool 8-ball.
In the old days, all you could get were those dorky bicycle helmets, which I still have. I mean, they keep your head from busting open. But
now you got the Lance Armstrong one that looks like it's going to take off into the stratosphere. You know.
Well, I want one. I want a Flying Nun one so I can just like off the bike. So Leah, you go out and you go looking for a farmer's market. It ain't there. So are you going to go into a store and buy a bag of Doritos?
I did, Cool Ranch. Actually, it was so funny for Lent one year.
Cool Ranch.
We were supposed to give up something for Lent, and I gave up Cool Ranch Doritos. Not junk food, not potato chips, not Doritos, but Cool Ranch
Just
Doritos.
Just Cool Ranch.
But you want to know what? I didn't do it. I was too addicted. I think it was when they came out with Cooler Ranch. I think that's what killed me.
Cool. Do you know how sad and pathetic that is?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty pathetic.
She wasn't chasing a giant silver cup down half of Chicago for a devoted 2 weeks.
Trying to lick it.
I only wanted to lick it during Pride, so I'll give her, at least you can lick a Cool Ranch and not look odd.
Mm. Leah, another successful visit
lick
from...
a Cool Ranch.
Thank you, my dear.
Oh,
I'm just moving on. Leah, maybe next week you'll find some place that's actually open. I bet there are farmers markets open today. You just didn't go to the right one.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks for that vote of confidence.
You're the one doing the research, not me, pal.
I did. I found out earlier. I just thought that I couldn't really count. I did send a text in. But, yeah, no, it says no holidays, so.
I don't know why anyone do it on a holiday.
Well, I don't, but they want to have their barbecue, too. I mean, I get that, but at the same token, this is like Barbecue Day of America.
They get Monday off, right? Not a farmer.
I think that it's important that we're talking about it, just in case anybody is listening and we're planning on going to a farmer's market today.
Yeah, well, they were going to go to Logan Square, and you're right. Check your local listings and see if they're off for the holiday. Well, I have some music for you. We've got some music to send you out on here.
Great.
This is Leah all over, right?
Oh, she's an American girl through and through.
Absolutely. Leah Petrusiak, where in the heck... Is she now?
Leah Petrusiak.
We got to come up with a theme. I don't want also
and
a slogan.
Always, I always think of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego when you say where in the world is Leah Petrucci.
Well, that's the whole point. I don't. So, I think we'll Matt Lauer, but you know,
no,
it's a
Matt Lauer Schmauer. He's a dork. Leah's cool.
Yeah, well, that's why we need a slogan for her, and not just where in the world.
Okay, we'll come up. Leah, you and I are going to come up with something good for you.
We'll do it.
All right, Leah. Thanks a lot. I think go have some Cool Ranch Doritos. And
Farmer Fresh Grown Cool Ranch
Farmer
Doritos.
Farmer Fresh Grown Cool Ranch Doritos.
I'll throw some blueberries on top.
Ooh.
If you can, yeah.
Chase it with a little Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's doing an anniversary issue for like all of July and August where they're going to make their soda with actual sugar and not corn syrup to celebrate.
I don't know if that's any better.
I think it is. It's real sugar.
I'd go for it. All right.
Yeah.
I do love Dr. Pepper. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Leah. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So on top of being an American girl, she's a pepper, too.
10, 2, and 4. I always tell people when you're driving, keep your hands at 10, 2, and 4.
I keep the dial on 8:20 a.m. because it's the Mike Novak Show, ladies and gentlemen, right here on WCPT Radio.
And?
ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com. And 92.7, 92.5, and 99.9 FM.
And?
MikeNovak.net.
And?
773-838-9278, WCPT, to call us with all your gardening queries.
And?
Did I leave one out?
Podcasts.
Podcasts are available on www.MikeNovak.net. And, yep, and this week's show and all your green tips and everything that is the Mike Novak Show is on the internet right there. And a really cool picture of me kissing the Stanley Cup.
That's right. It's on the homepage. You got to go there. I see we got a tweet from...
we got a couple good ones.
From where we are. Oh, from from LaManda, who said, where's her first one? I wasn't responsible for the parade prizes. I know you weren't, Amanda.
I like her what the real prize was. Did you read that one? It says the real prize was that the little girls were all over Mr. Mike Novak all night long. Did you have groupies?
I got out of there so early. After I helped them sing This Land Is Your Land, they asked me to leave. They asked me politely to walk away and don't look back. I note that Web Girl Lisa says she found Espoma out in DeKalb. She got some garden tone for tomatoes and mixed it into the soil. And wow, she says, wow.
And she also mentioned the mega dump out in the DeKalb area.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
What'd she say about that?
Well, that because we've got now the mega dairy and now the mega dump.
Oh, right. Where did she get? Because
right
I've been
meaning... It reminds her of the fight out in DeKalb for Stop the Mega Dump, for Stop the Mega Dairy.
She said that. I'll tell you what, while I'm doing this, why don't you go to Stop the Mega Dump? I think they lost that battle.
No way, really?
Let's check it out. We need to do a follow-up on there.
Okay.
And Lisa, Webgirl, you should send me a tweet on that. What's the story on the mega dump out in DeKalb? I'd like to do a little follow-up on that. Now, ready or not, we're in July. And if you want your Zone 5 garden to look as good as it did in May, you need a copy of the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Now, one plant that looks good all season is heuchera. Some people call it heuchera, or you could just call them coral bells. Regardless, there are hundreds of varieties. They do well in shade, and Chicagoland Gardening tells you how to have success with this popular plant. And would you know what to do if you lost your favorite tree and your shade garden was suddenly in the middle of blazing sun? There's a story about how to adapt in the magazine as well. And what's that smell? Wait. It's coming from my column on the inside back page. But it's not what you think. You'll just have to get a copy and decide for yourself. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but I advise you to subscribe and have it delivered to your home. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
We were supposed to have Beatles music here. Now, wait a second. Maybe I'll have to get to that. I know. Stand by. I've got some right here. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. I'm still here. We're broadcasting. We're live. We're local.
What are you doing? What's going on?
I'm putting in Beatles because my producer didn't have it ready for me. So I see.
Master, you're the puppet master, not me. You switched seats with me and it would have been ready.
Let's see. Which one?
I thought you were going to pull it up on the computer anyway. I didn't know you were going to go old school and actually queue it up on disc. That's pretty sweet.
I am an old school kind of guy.
Yeah.
I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help.
Are you reaching out?
The Beatles are invading. It's the Beatles have landed. And if you haven't yet experienced Japanese Beatles, you're probably lucky. I'm lucky in the city because they don't tend to show up a lot. In the middle of the sea, you'll see an occasional one, but not like in some areas. Yes,
are the
Heather?
Japanese beetles those little lady orange-looking ladybug things?
No.
What are those?
Those are
aren't those Chinese or Japanese?
Yeah, they're
too?
Asian lady bird beetles.
Okay.
Japanese beetles are little, like half inch. They have shiny, kind of green and black, different multicolored backs. You'll recognize them when you see them, and mostly because they're all over your roses and lindens.
And they're bad juju for plants.
They'll just chew them all up. Now, there are a number of ways to control Japanese beetles. One of the ways is, you know, you just go out and you're... Oh, and I'm going to have a tip from Wally later about this, but here's some other ways. One of the ways, people talk about these Japanese beetle traps, and they have pheromones and they attract the Japanese beetles. Everything I've read about it tells you that this is a bad way to go because what you're doing is attracting more beetles, basically. And SIDS agrees with that, SIDS Garden Center, okay? SIDS Greenhouses. Now, insecticides can be effective, but you always got to be careful about what you're using. Now, here's the one SIDS recommends, and you and I, you stand by because you got your captain's hat on, right?
Got my sea leg.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Arg!
With spinosad, a naturally occurring bacterium, which we mentioned was found on a Caribbean island in 1982. So you can get that at SIDS. And with so many options to consider, SIDS recommends a visit to their stores. This is why you go to a local garden center, an independent garden center, because you can talk to the folks, ask them what they recommend. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and I was just out at their place in Bolingbrook the other day. Like I said, I got some, you know, where we got the steaks for the tomatoes here?
Uh-huh.
It sits. I got the bamboo steaks at SIDS. And I got myself some Back to Nature compost. But they also have a location in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway. And for hours and directions, visit SIDSonline.com. Don't forget also that when you go there, you can...
I just got the new tweet. The girls weren't all over you at the event the other night. They were all over Potato Boy.
Oh.
Which is awesome.
That is funnier. No, they weren't. I told you they weren't all over me. No. So, by the way, you can take your plastics back to SIDS, and they will recycle it for you, and it's another reason I think they are great folks.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
And we're back. Do you know about probiotics? There's only one company that is providing this for your plants, and that's Dr. Earth. Probiotics is a soil inoculant that consists of several species of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that, simply put, bring life to your soil. Of course, as a gardener, you're interested in results, and that's what you get from Dr. Earth's organic soils, blended organic fertilizers, lawn food, organic insecticides, and fungicides, and more. Find out what probiotics can do for your garden. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center, or go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. See, I'd have gone old school on this, and I would have done the Guess Who. I don't know why you went for Lenny Kravitz.
Because the Guess Who's gonna, it's been done so much. And I think this is a really nice cover of it. And I think Lenny's guitar lick is way hotter than the Guess Who's.
Well, probably.
Listen to that. Waka, 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 waka. Ah! Well...
Waka waka. That was, I thought
awesome.
The 70s was all about waka waka. They,
well, that's why I love Lenny Kravitz. He's bringing it back.
Okay.
He's old school. He's new school slash old school.
All right. We are going to line three to bring in Contest Central. Kathleen, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you, too.
And Kathleen, of course, is my sweetie and does the website and also helps with the contests.
But I just got back both emails I tried to send you.
Well, one of them came through.
Oh, okay.
But that's why I needed you, because I needed a little more explanation, because we're going to give away those ticks.
Okay.
A pair of tickets to see Chuck Lavelle. Wait, let's give the full credit here, because I want to make sure that they get their props, as we say. And Chuck Lavelle is performing at the Omni Chicago Hotel July 17th, 2010. That's the night before we do the big broadcast at Millennium Park for the Still 20,000, the 2010 Still Tour de Trees. That's how it goes. The 2010 Still Tour de Trees. Or steel.
Good alliteration.
Tour de Trees?
Still. Look at the T in the still. Tour de Trees.
Is that alliteration, Kathleen?
Sort of.
No, it's consonants.
Darn!
It's what?
Consonants.
Yes.
Okay. Meh.
You're talking to a grammar expert here.
I am.
Yes, she knows her stuff.
That's not grammar.
Get off my back.
You know she listens to you taking notes.
Oh, whatever it is. Lordy, I'm going to cut off her mic, too.
You're the one who wanted me to call her.
Yeah, I know. All right,
punishment.
So we're going to give away those ticks, if we ever get around to it. But we had we've got a really good question that we're going to pose. But, and now I've lost the, there it is. Now, you call it, Kathleen, better three free? What does that mean?
No, I say, what? You want me to read this?
How would you phrase the question? That's what I want to know.
What kind of product is declared to be three free when it is made less toxic?
There we go. There's the question. What kind of product is declared to be three free when it's made less toxic? Heather's going,
Yeah, you got me.
You got me.
Joe Builder scratching his head outside the window.
Hey, Joe Builder. And they will be here at 10 o'clock with Mighty House. So give us a call, 773-838-9278. What product is called three free when it's declared to be less toxic? Okay. Kathleen, thank you so much at Contest Central.
Oh, Okay, and I will try to send this email to you again.
Yeah, go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com.
I did.
And the one guy, one of them got through.
Yeah. Well, that was the follow-up one that got through. This one has the actual question on it.
Oh, so, let me see if it's there. Let me.
What's the actual answer? So I'm going to send it on again.
Cool. See, my
well, we need the answer.
My
That's
email
key.
Setup here stinks. In a word, it stinks.
So should I send it to your?
You can't
personal?
Because well, see, I've got my personal computer here.
Send
but,
it to
but
my the, Facebook
but,
if you can, Kathleen. I got that.
There
up.
You go. Send it to
send
Heather's,
it to my Facebook.
Heather's
and I can
Facebook.
Get it.
But then, well,
oh, you know, then it's out there. We can't do that.
No, if you send a direct message, it
oh,
won't be out there.
Send a direct message. Do you have a question and a link?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to do that.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
How you know, she doesn't kill you some days, I don't know.
She should. She should just do me in. I'm sorry.
You gotta fall asleep sometime.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy.
I know. Stop planting ideas in her head, woman.
I know. Well, all right. There's the question. What product is declared to be... See? And
is declared to be three free?
Is declared to be three free when it's less toxic.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's a hard one. But I only ask the hard questions for important ticks, like, you know, for the Chuck Lavelle ticks. And if you you get these, you will be able to go to the Omni Chicago Hotel July 17th. It's a benefit for the American Forest Foundation and the TREE Fund. That stands for Tree Research and Education Endowment. David Sparrow, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Board of Directors, will join Lavelle for an evening of good food, great music, and stories in the key of green. And then, of course, Chuck Lavelle will be with me on the big broadcast the next morning, the special Mike Novak show from Millennium Park.
That'll be fun. I can't wait.
To kick off the...
Why couldn't we go to Clapton? Why couldn't we do our show live from the Crossroads Festival?
I wish we could have done it.
That would have been awesome.
Except it didn't have anything to do with trees.
Oh.
So, so give us a call, 773-838-9278. If you know the answer to the question, what product is considered to be three free when it's less toxic? This is a tough one, and I think you're going to be really surprised, Heather, at the answer to this. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, and I'm not going to get no hints yet. And maybe at some point, Kathleen will give us hints for that if we need to do that. All right. In just 60 seconds, we will talk to the person who went to one of the last concert tickets.
We gave away.
And I hope folks call in with this. I want to give away these tickets. This is a great evening.
I'll go.
Chuck Lavelle,
calls.
Who's a, you know, rock and roll.
He's been playing with the Stones since 82.
Yeah. Do we have a song that...
Yeah, we got a couple from a couple albums they've done since Chuck joined the group.
What?
From... Bigger Bang, their last studio album, and then Voodoo Lounge, which is a personal favorite of mine that came out in the 90s. Chuck's the keyboardist.
You pick out the one you want next,
okay.
And we'll get right to that. What are you? And I was just talking about it. What are you doing in 2 weeks? On Sunday morning, July 18th, the Care of Trees invites you to come out to Millennium Park to be part of a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show. The 2010 Steel Tour de Trees launches from the park at 10 a.m., as dozens of cyclists head out on a six-day trip to the Mississippi River and back to raise money for tree research and education. The Tree Fund is behind the effort. Go to treefund.org, and they're proud to say that this is America's largest fundraiser for tree research. Now in its 19th year, the event has raised more than $4 million for tree research and education. I'm proud that the Care of Trees is sponsoring my broadcast, along with the Davy Tree Care Experts. And my special guest will be Rolling Stones keyboardist and world-class tree farmer Chuck Lavelle. I hope you come to Millennium Park to join us for the Tour de Trees kickoff and celebration on July 18th at the regular show time, which is 8 to 10 a.m. Meanwhile, when you need tree help, go to thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees, a proud sponsor of the 2010 Steel Tour de Trees. All right, what number did you want?
Either 1, 2, 3, 15, or 16. Take your bets.
Wait, let me look.
1, 2, 3, 15, or 16. Those are the ones I know Chuck is recording on,
okay.
For sure. Chuck's on those.
Yeah, all right. Let's go with 16. I think that's the one.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Chuck Lavelle. Are we talking about sausage here again?
Right, again, back to the kielbasa.
Back to the kielbasa.
It all comes around.
All right. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We've got Mighty House coming our way at 10 a.m. And I'm going to ask the question one more time. What product is considered 3-free when it's less toxic? And if you have the answer to that, give me a call, 773-838-9278. You will have a pair of tickets to the Chuck Lavelle concert.
That is a surprising answer. I just got the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. So.
All right. All right. See? You never would.
I never would have guessed that.
I'm sure you wouldn't have. Hey, nice tomato. Isn't that what you want your neighbors to say? Well, it depends who you are, I suppose. And what better way to get them tomatoes growing? That's the way. And I even wrote it that way. Get them tomatoes growing, then Tomato Tone from Espoma. I've said this before. If the word tone is part of the name, it's from Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Tomato Tone is formulated specifically for growing the healthiest, juiciest tomatoes around. Tomato Tone's organic blends feed your plants naturally and will not force rapid growth at the expense of blooms and tomato yield. And it contains Biotone, their patented blend of beneficial microbes. Biotone biologically enhances their natural plant food to ensure superior plant growth. A complex blend of 100% natural organics is in this stuff to provide a complete and balanced feeding. Tomato Tone is long-lasting and releases slowly. As with all Espoma products, it's environmentally safe. There are no sludges or toxic ingredients. Tomato Tone is just one of the great products from Espoma, including Holly Tone, Plant Tone, Flower Tone, Rose Tone, and others. Log on to Espoma.com for more information about Espoma products or call 888-ESPOMA-1, which you can find out DeKalb. Well, you can find it all over the place. 888-ESPOMA-1, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. So we've got somebody who wants to guess on this?
Yes.
Let's go to line 3 and bring in Jason from Oak Lawn. Jason, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. The answer that I had was nail polish.
Why would you say nail polish?
Well, I used to work in a Walgreens, and that was one of the things I saw for the non-toxic stuff. I remember seeing Big Three, and I'm almost positive it was nail polish.
Jason, you've got yourself a pair of tickets to see Chuck Lavelle.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is great. That's amazing, because, Heather didn't know this.
No.
She's a girl.
Yeah. Have you seen my nails?
Yeah, that's
please.
True. And it's amazing that you remember that. The products we're talking about, the toxic trio in nail polish, dibutyl phthalate, formaldehyde, and toluene. And the DBP, which is dibutyl phthalate, adds flexibility and moisturizing sheen, helps dissolve other cosmetic ingredients. Toluene helps suspend the color and form a smooth finish across the nail. Formaldehyde is found in some nail products, such as nail hardeners, and that's a known human carcinogen. So if you're doing your nails and they're not 3-free, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Now, I'm glad I have plain, boring nails.
Dirt under the fingernails. Jason, that is so cool.
I got Jason's phone number, so I will call you after the show, and I will get all your information, and we can get those tickets on out to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you were listening, Jason. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. I didn't expect the guy to get it.
I'm excited he did.
I am too. I think it's cool. All right. We're going to do Dr. Wally's tips and get to Dawn and Stuart.
They've been very patient. Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it. Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Dr. Wally, as you know, isn't a certified doctor. In fact, the DR on his lab coat stands for Dude Ranch. But he knows his beetles. And we've been talking Japanese beetles today because they are starting to arrive. And Wally has an organic way to combat them. And this is interesting. This is something you've not heard before. You know, should we get another? Oh, I know. I got the perfect Beatles song right here.
That's sort of a Beatles song. I can see what disc you're putting in there.
I know,
that's
but it's
kind of sorta. It's Beatle connected.
It's Beatle connected. This is as close as I'm going to get. And
that's one of like my ultimate most favorite groups that ever walked the earth.
Oh yeah,
right
this
there.
is one of my ultimate favorite groups too.
Yeah.
Traveling Wilburys. So there we go.
Can you get much better?
No, you can't.
No.
Anyway, back to Dr. Wally and his tip. Here's what he says. You got to have a shop vac. And you fill it with hot, soapy water. You plug it in. In fact, Wally uses the same extension cord that keeps his weed whacker working. And then he just sucks the Japanese beetles off the place. He says they cannot get away. Now, I suppose if you do it early enough in the day, they're really kind of sluggish. But he says even ones that try to fly away, just sucks them right in.
They can't escape. They can't get out or do anything funky in your shop vac?
No, that's why you put the hot soapy water in there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it kills them. Now, if you don't have a shop vac, you can still go out early in the day or late in the evening and knock the beetles into a bucket of soapy water. Beetles tend to do a little bit of a drop and roll. It's not the same as duck and cover, but it's a drop and roll. And when they're disturbed, they will obligingly fall into your tub once you get the hang of it. And then so you just go along going, kunk, kunk, and knocking them off, all right? And do it now when they're just starting their feeding, because once they're feeding, the beetles send out a pheromone that attracts more beetles. So if they've started eating your plants, they'll eat more of your plants. Family-owned since 1924, Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com, and tell Dr. Wally that Mike sent you. All right, you're right. These people have been very patient. Let us go to line one and bring in Dawn Patch. Dawn, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Great. You're with the Old Town School of Folk Music.
Yeah.
And how long you been there?
I've been over there 10 years. I've worked there 10 years. I've been involved about 12 years.
Uh-huh. And what is your specialty?
Well, I have a silly administrative title, but I get to coordinate all the financial aid and look after the folks who help you when you call and all the folks who do the cleaning, that kind of stuff.
So you don't strum a banjo or a mandolin or something like that?
I started there taking mandolin lessons. That's how I got involved.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And I am taking guitar lessons now.
Well, we had a caller win tickets to see Clapton a few weeks ago, Paula,
yes,
who called in. And Heather got this idea because she knew you.
The Old Town School of Folk Music is a wonderful organization and school, and years ago a friend of mine was a victim of criminal violence and lost his life when someone stole his guitar from him. And some other friends in the radio community here in Chicago started a scholarship fund in his name at Old Town School, the Brendan Hedges Scholarship Fund. So when she said she wanted to donate these tickets to someone who'd really enjoy it, that was the first thing that popped into my head, was one of the scholarship recipients from Old Town.
Well, that was a terrific instinct, and
thank you.
That went exactly the right way.
Yeah.
And, Dawn, you had somebody in mind, didn't you?
I did. You know, I've been working with a financial aid program for several years, and we have some really incredibly dedicated students, and they show tremendous loyalty to the school and to learning music, and I knew just who to give them to.
And who was that?
His name's Stuart Frank, and he has studied a number of different instruments over the years, and he's just a great guy.
And I believe he's online, too, there. Stu, are you with us?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Morning, Stu.
Hi. Hi, Heather. Hi, Don.
Hi.
Stuart, how was the concert? I guess that's the first question I got to ask you.
Awesome, man. It was amazing.
How long did you stay there? Because it was an all-day affair.
All day, all night.
Nice. All day, all
Yay!
Night?
All right. Good.
All day, all night.
What was the pinnacle of awesomeness from the stage?
Oh, it was all, I mean, these are all great world-class musicians. ZZ Top was amazing. You know, it's three guys to fill up a 30,000-person stadium is really amazing. The sound was perfect. Clapton, obviously, was a master, you know, in just many ways. So it was not just a concert. It was really, you know, this is for his charitable foundation.
Yeah.
And so it was really just a great experience.
And what instrument do you play?
I play guitar.
And did you pick up any licks from?
Eric gave me a call after the concert.
Him and Buddy together.
And he said, "Stu, you know, I figured something." No. I'm a strummer. I am still struggling to learn licks.
Yeah, well, you know, but...
You're in the right place to learn.
How long have you been studying now?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been studying?
Well, I've been... I mean, at Old Town School?
Yeah.
I've been at Old Town School since the early 2000s.
Oh, so you've been doing this a while. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm just so glad that we were able to give... Did we lose...
No.
Oh, okay. Don, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just didn't hear kids running around anymore.
I banished him.
Oh, okay.
I have to do that, too. Mine's three.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I want to thank you both for this because I'd rather, you know, I'm always happy to give stuff to people who really deserve it and will appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And, Stuart, it sounds like you did appreciate it.
Oh, it was a... I wouldn't have been able to have gone to something like this if it wasn't for this gift. So I'm really grateful.
Well, our pleasure. We are just and Heather's just blushing like a bride.
I just can't stop thinking of B.B. King, Buddy Guy, and Eric Clapton all on one stage together. Just the thought of it makes me swoony.
So feel free to send me any photos if you got them there. And Dawn, keep me posted of what's going on at the Old Town.
I will. You know, I want to tell you quickly that at the end of the month, July 31st, we have our Brendan Hedges Scholarship Night. It's going to be a Beatles celebration. We have a number of wonderful local artists participating. Tickets are $15, and it goes to obviously a really great cause and remembers someone who is just really special.
And give us a website.
Gone. It's wonderful.
OldTownSchool.org.
OldTownSchool.org.
Yeah, and we have our Folk and Roots Festival, 13th Annual Folk and Roots Festival next weekend in Wells Park.
That sounds great.
All day Saturday and Sunday.
All right, both of you, thank you so much. You have a great 4th of July.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't want to hit that. Where's my CETA?
I don't know.
The CETA disappeared.
The computer ate it.
The computer ate my CETA spot.
Mm,
oh, well.
Then nummy. Fiber.
Then I'm not responsible for it.
CETA's a lovely group of folks, though.
They're nice, and we'll talk about them. We'll play two of them next week. I wanted to let you know we got a couple of tweets from our little acre in Northwest Ohio. We've got several mega dairies in our county here, and I want to write to her. And web girl Lisa wrote about the mega dump out in DeKalb. There are updates. We're going to find out. They're appealing the county board ruling. So to the Illinois Pollution Control Board, I'm going to follow up on that. That's it for the Mike Novak Show. Happy 4th of July, and we will talk to you next week.
Don't blow your fingers off. Keep it green.